knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about Hard Boys
I feel ashamed to talk to Dean.
Wait, why do you feel ashamed to talk to Dean?
Because
Richards?
I asked what Yippee-ki-yay, Merry Christmas meant, and everyone's on my case because I don't remember a tagline from a movie that happened 30 years ago.
You're dead to me.
Yep.
See, whatever.
Me too, Wendy. Dean, it's just me and you from here on in.
Good, I'll go home and take a nap.
We're the Mod Squad without Julie.
I did not know that naps were involved here.
Now yeah. Dean's out too.
Okay.
Now
it's all right.
I remembered the tail end of it more than the Yippee-ki-yay part.
Yeah.
You don't have to be fanatic about it. You know.
Yeah.
I run into people all the time that don't know that. This is the time of year, by the way, where everyone argues whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
What do you think? Is it or is it not?
I think it is not.
It is not. It takes place at Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie, right?
It's a Christmas-themed movie.
Right.
Christmas movie, to me, has to be Christmas-themed.
Do you think A Christmas Story is a Christmas movie?
Not unless Santa has a AK-47 and is shooting people.
Right. Right.
Doesn't there have to be some kind of warm and fuzzy in it to make
there
it a
be.
Christmas movie, too?
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. Christmas movie or not a Christmas movie?
Yeah, definitely Christmas.
Yep. All right. The Goonies.
I heard you talking with Steve Cochran telling the big news about who was hosting the Oscars.
Oh, yeah,
and
we're
I
all excited.
Heard you mention how much Bill hates this particular person, and I'm glad you keep reminding
people.
Did
Bill even come into work yesterday?
But, Dean, it's not hate. It's me just literally saying I don't understand him.
You're jealous.
I'm not jealous. I don't hate him. I'm not jealous.
I'm jealous because he's not 4'7".
I know. You want women to put them in your pocket.
No, I don't want that. That would be weird. But every time I see him, I go, let's start over. Let's try again. Let me try harder. Let me try harder. Is that a Christmas movie, Try Harder? But then he's on, and I just go, I still don't get it.
It's okay.
He's very energetic, I'll give you that.
He's very energetic.
I can't even tell you the number of times that the thing that the great Roy Leonard told me before he retired.
What?
There's a reason Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. Oh. There is something for everyone.
He was right.
Yep.
And then did he go and bring home Baskin-Robbins for you?
And then he whispered into my ear, this is actually true. This is a true story. He whispers as he's leaving the studio for the last time. He leans in and whispers to me, I'm so glad I don't have to see the crap that you have to see.
Dean, I would see Roy Leonard. He lived fairly close to me in Evanston, and I would see him at the Evanston Movie Theater on an almost weekly basis, and he was always dozing off during the movie.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You know, you got to get your rest somehow.
Yeah, I guess. But then I always
chair, dark room. It's very conducive to
it. It's hard not to sleep. But then I'd always say,
come into the screening room with all these so-called critics.
Oh, I know.
See how much snoring is going on.
I know. I didn't realize the first few times Wendy and I got invited to see those screenings in the critics' room that you do not talk to Mr. Ebert or Mr. Siskel under any circumstances.
Mr. Siskel predated me a little bit, but the first time that I went there, I went in and sat down, and then somebody came to me as though I had just murdered their grandmother and said, oh, you can't sit in that seat.
Yes.
That's Roger's seat.
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay. So I moved one row in front.
Yeah.
And sat there, and then Roger came in and asked me to move.
Oh, he did?
Because I was in his field of vision.
Well, that was the thing, is you couldn't sit in Mr. Siskel or Mr. Ebert's seat, or like in front of that seat or in front of that seat. They wanted a clear shot at the screen.
They wanted a clear shot at the screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand that completely.
To this day, I will not sit in that seat.
Out of respect?
Out of respect. And when young punks come in that room who have no idea what that chair is, I never say anything to them because I don't want to be the grouchy old man.
Right.
Saying, get out of that seat, a man who died several years ago.
Yeah, that was his seat.
Sit there.
Show some respect.
That seems weird.
Who was the film critic who always brought his mom?
That was Michael Wilmington.
Yeah. Michael Wilmington always brought his mom.
Always brought his mom. Yeah.
Well, so what? I think that's super nice.
And you could share a seat with his mom. She was open to that. She'd go, yeah, there's room in this seat for both of us.
She sat on my lap several times.
That's fun. It makes the movie more fun.
She's not a heavy person.
Right.
The other screening room, Inside the Screening Room Stories, which will be the title of my first book, by the way. I used to tease Roger Ebert, asking him if he ever ate anything that was not loaded with onions. He was famous. It's not a big room,
really.
Right? It's not a big.
No,
it's not like a giant theater we're singing in. It's
like 60
room.
Seats. Would you say?
Maybe at best it's small.
Yeah,
but Roger would always come in. Often we see movies in the afternoon, and so it's lunchtime. And Roger would bring usually a sub sandwich.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in the day when he was able to eat food.
Yeah.
And it would be a sub sandwich loaded with onions. My clothes would smell like onions when I went home. And I'd see him. It's like, so what'd you get with onions today?
Sometimes he would just bring some onions. He would just eat raw onions. So you'd take a bite out of an onion during the movie.
Yep.
Maybe it was best to have a couple of seats as a buffer when he was there.
It wasn't enough. Build a wall. Build a wall and make Mexico pay for it.
So after one of the movies, Dean, Gene Siskel and I are waiting for the elevator down. And just as small talk, because the movie had just played, I said, what'd you think? And his eyes got really big. I'm not going to divulge. I can't even tell you what I think.
I did that to Roger one of the first times that I was there, because that's what you do, right? After a movie with your friends?
Yeah.
What'd you think? You know, you want to talk about the movie? And Roger said, you're going to learn nobody wants to answer that question when we're leaving.
You learned. He taught you something.
Right. Yes. Very valuable.
Roger was very, extremely, extremely nice to me. I'd make fun of him now.
Yeah.
Because he can't defend himself.
Right. Well,
that's the way to play it.
He would make fun of himself for some of these things. And you know what? I kind of now, when I'm coming out of a screening, people ask me, what do I think? And I say, I'll tell you on Friday when I review the movie.
Good tease.
You know, I have to think about it some more.
Good
That's usually my go-to, mind your own business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still thinking about it.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
In parentheses, mind your own business.
Please, mind your own business.
Not telling you.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. He'll tell you what movies are coming out this weekend, if he feels like telling you, or you can watch them when you want.
Did you guys talk about the Golden Globe nominations at all?
No, we will, though. Maybe we'll take a break?
Maybe we'll hit that, too.
Okay, cool.
All right. That's coming up next. Love it. Dean Richards is here. Dean, the Golden Globe nominations were announced today. What are your thoughts?
I was very surprised that the Dick Cheney movie, Vice, got the most nominations of all the movies that are out now, considering some of the blockbusters that are out.
Yeah.
This one won't even open in Chicago until Christmas Day. But it's this movie in which Christian Bale does this amazing transformation. He looks and sounds just like former Vice President Dick Cheney. Was nominated for Best Picture. Christian Bale was nominated. Amy Adams, who plays his wife, was nominated. And Adam McKay, who you know mostly from comedies, was directed. This movie has kind of a little comedic vein going through. It's not a strict political drama. It's actually a really good movie. I'm not sure I would pick it as best movie, but that got the most nominations of everything today. For Best Drama for the Golden Globes, the nominees were Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, A Star is Born. I know those two are mostly music.
Yeah.
But they were nominated as dramas, so they went into that category.
And it's up to the producers to decide what category they're nominated
Correct.
In, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. It's not the Golden Globes. It's the producers who decide where their movies fall. Interesting choice there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if Beale Street Could Talk, it's Barry Jenkins, the director who brought us Moonlight a couple of years ago. That's his brand new movie. And the nominees for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, Crazy Rich Asians, Mary Poppins Returns, The Favorite, that period piece that I told you about last week that's so great, Green Book, and the Dick Cheney movie, Vice. So there's a long list. Christian Bale and Lin-Manuel Miranda, Robert Redford. John C. Reilly was nominated for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for his Stan and Laurel, Stan and Ollie, that will be coming out.
I didn't even know he was doing that. That's
very interesting.
It doesn't come out in Chicago until after the first of the year, so we have to wait a little while.
I love him.
Who plays Stan Laurel in that?
For that. Don't remember.
I always thought Hugh Laurie would be a good Stan Laurel.
He would be a good Stan Laurel.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up.
Oh, all right.
And I will.
All right. Let's get to this weekend's movies. And if you wouldn't mind, I want to start out with this very curious title, Anna and the Apocalypse. What is this all
it's
about?
It's a very curious movie because, you know, how many people have said, I wish there was a holiday movie that included zombies in it. That really would be my dream come true. And your wish has become reality. Anna and the Apocalypse is part High School Musical, part La La Land, and part Shaun of the Dead. It's based in a high school in the United Kingdom. While a zombie outbreak is taking place, they're trying to do their high school play, and the zombies come and spoil everything.
Yeah, they always do.
That's really what it is. But it's all set to music and big choreographed numbers. It's kind of a fun movie. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Any actors we recognize in Anna and the Apocalypse? Nobody.
Not a one. There's all young. It was a student production that turned into a film. So it's mostly young British actors that are involved in this. So no big names involved in this at all, which maybe makes it kind of charming, too.
What did you think?
I gave it a Dean's List B.
Yeah.
Steve Coogan, by the way, is playing...
I like Steve
Stan
Coogan.
Laurel.
Stan Laurel.
Oh,
that's
what,
a good
really?
Choice also, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent choice.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that. I have not seen it yet. I'm very excited
that
about
sounds
it.
So good. All right. And then the other big movie that's opening is Roma. And Wendy used to work with Roma.
I did.
Yeah. Over
good
at WLS.
Roma.
Who knew they could make a whole big, that Alfonso Cuarón could make?
She had an interesting life.
Yeah.
A black and white Spanish-speaking film based on the co-host of a one-time WLS radio talk show.
Anything's possible.
Anything
if you just
is
dream.
Possible in Hollywood. Yeah. You know what it is? It's those character, those special effects that they use now. You can do anything you want. This is the most interesting movie. It's fairly unremarkable in that it's really just sort of a slice of life of this middle-class Mexican family. It's beautifully shot. The cinematography is gorgeous. Turns out that this is the story of director Alfonso Cuarón's childhood. Hmm. It's autobiographical, which makes it slightly more interesting. As a movie, as a plot, and one thing leading to another, it really doesn't. It's just moments, slices of life of his growing up. But it's so the movie is so beautiful. You have to admire it for that. So I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Dean, remind me, this movie, Roma, is in black and white, correct?
Correct.
All right. What happens to you when you sit down and a movie's in black and white? What is your initial reaction?
I don't know that I really have one. Why?
I love it.
Oh, you love black
I just
and white.
Love it. I go out of my way. If a movie comes out and it's in black and white, I try even harder to see it. You know what it does is it makes the experience more dreamlike because we're so used to color around us that when something's in black and white, it puts it in another dimension for me.
I guess it makes it a little, you know, it can make things a little more dramatic because it's the story of his life growing up in the 60s and 70s. It instantly says this is a story about the past.
Yeah.
Because it's in black and white. So, yeah, so there is that effect. Some people hate it. Some people,
yeah, I know.
If they see black and white, turn it off.
They think it's broken.
Immediately, yeah.
Where's the color? Put the color back in
I think that may be called younger people.
Right. That would be the name for it. It's younger
people. Don't understand what black and white actually is.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful and interesting movie. Also, just a couple of other quick ones that are coming out this week. Well, on Netflix, there's a movie that's called Dumpling, which stars Jennifer Aniston, and it's the story of a small town in Texas obsessed with their teen beauty pageants. She is a former contestant. She now runs the pageant. And her daughter, who happens to be overweight, feels left out because the mother's whole life is beauty pageants, and she's not a beauty pageant type. She decides to enter the pageant just to show that, as she puts it, overweight girls can be beautiful, too. And it's a story about beauty coming from within. The movie is loaded with both classic and new songs from Dolly Parton.
Oh.
So there's something very lovely about that. It's kind of a cute, it's not a great movie, but it's a good movie. I gave it a Dean's List C. And also there is this live action adaptation of Mowgli that's coming out this week. It's the Mowgli that you may remember from Disney's The Jungle Book or the live action adaptation that came out a couple of years ago, or the original source material from Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. It's a story about that little boy who was raised by wolves in a much darker, much serious tone in telling the story. It's not musical at all. It's not whimsical at all. It's actually kind of dark and violent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beautiful because they do use those special effects that they used in Lord of the Rings and Planet of the Apes. Mm. So it's extremely realistic, making the animals talk and making things happen in this movie that, you know, might not otherwise be able to happen if it were shot conventionally. So it's very interesting. Andy Serkis is the director of the movie, who is the king of motion capture.
Yeah.
And Benedict Cumberbatch and Christian Bale and Kate Blanchett all do voices in the movie. Dean's List B-plus on that one also.
Can't wait to see that. Dean, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week from today.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That's Dean Richards. Thanks, everybody. A little break, some news, and then more.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.